each word has something to do with different type of obtaining produce from where it comes from. And according to Rashi and the Rambam, these are all avos. They're not really any different from each other. It's just, again, you know that they say the Eskimos have 50 words for snow, because they're deeply involved with snow. You relate to each aspect differently. So too, if you're a farmer, so these all mean different things to you. If you are not a farmer, then it all boils down to the same thing. And maybe even halachically, there is no significant difference. Maybe they're all just considered to be avos, and we just list the different words, and the Gemara tells you you should know they're all the same. Some of the Rishonim did see a difference, the Sefer Yireyim and a few others thought that it's really just Kotzer, which is an Av. The Meiri understood that the Av refers to seeds, and the Tolda refers to anything on the tree or the comparable plant. The Eglital, who talks about this, Eglital quotes the other Rishonim who disagree with Rashi and the Rambam about what's whether these are all avos or not. So the Eglital makes a comment which has to do with part of our main mission here. A lot of the discussions that are relevant to Kotzer cut to the core of what Kotzer is. And we're trying to figure out what exactly gives it its unique status as a malacha. So here the Eglital makes an observation that maybe karka is the key unika. Karka is the key nutrient, and removing something directly from karka, that's going to be the malacha of Kotzer. Once you're a step removed, let's say you have a fruit, so a fruit is getting nourishment from a tree, which is getting nourishment from the karka, already that's a little bit less of a av, presumably in terms of its surah, because you're still breaking the connection, right? So it's only a question where you're cutting the chain. So you'd have to say within his explanation that this has it's a tzuri issue, not a tachlis issue. The tachlis is going to be the same, but the tzura is going to be different. So one of the major issues that comes out of here, it's interesting, one of the most irrelevant points is not one that's listed here under Kotzer, but one that's listed previously in the context of Zareya, where we said we weren't going to spend time talking about it, but now it's resurfaced. The question was not even really upon. You could have gone somewhere with that. But what is the story when it comes to Zomer? And so according to the Rambam, Zomer is an Av, which is essentially like Kotzer. Zomer meaning you're pruning the tree. Rashi here understands differently. Right? Rashi says it's a tolda, the kotzer. Rashi in Tzarech Le'etzim, because the Gemara says, Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim, if you're pruning and you happen to not only want to make the tree grow better, so you're pruning for the purposes of giving it greater growth, but the Gemara throws in this clause of Tzarech Le'etzim, so says Rashi, Lahat Saka, let's say you want to use it for firewood, Mishum Tzarech Lahem, have you told the Kotzer, the Tzarech Nami Liktzer, that because you need the wood, so then that makes it a Tolda de Kotzer. So is this a Kotzer itself, or is it a Tolda de Kotzer? That seems to be a debate. And the number of Achronim, the Dvar Avram has a comment along these lines, and the Primosha discusses this, that again, you know, all of these, really a lot of these points just go to trying to define Kotzer more precisely. So he suggests that Kotzer means separating one thing from another. And it does not mean cutting something off of itself. It does not mean making something smaller. It means cutting one thing off from another. So when you have a fruit and you take that off the tree, so then you are separating the fruit from the tree. When you have a tree and you cut off the branches, so then it's really the same thing. So for that reason, it's not going to be an av, perhaps, according to the Rambam, even though it is going to be a tolda, because you have the same purpose. But it's not going to share that same key function. I was just thinking last night, linguistically, it's interesting that, as far as I know in Hebrew, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have different terminology for trees and for wood. You know, they're all called etzim. which sometimes makes for some confusing passages, but highlights the fact that there is no essential difference. You know, wood is not something that grows on trees. Wood is the tree. In English, you'd say the table is made out of wood, but in Hebrew, you essentially say the table is made out of tree. You know, that highlights the fact that they're considered to be one item, so that deficiency, so to speak, and that it's not actually separating something from something else, but it's maybe called making something smaller. So that's going to be perhaps a definitional difference, and maybe that's what Rashi is getting at by calling it a tolda. There is an important discussion also, what is the shear for kotzer, like with everything else. And this draws on the Gemara that's come up so many times. It's really such a foundational sugya. The Gemara on Kuf Gimel about Tolesh Olshin. So Tolesh is interesting, is yet another action we'll try to spend a few minutes on in a few minutes, which is also a tolda of Kotzer. So it's interesting. So that first line of the Gemara lists all these other actions. Most of those we don't end up talking about. But Zomer is a topic of much discussion, and Tolesh is a topic of much discussion. So here the Gemara uses that phrase, HaTolesh Olshin. So if you're taking out these endives from this field, so what is the shear to be chayiv? So in Vachila Kegroigris. So if it's for the purposes of eating, so then it's defined by a grogris, that same grogris we've been talking about the whole time. So the Rambam writes that the shear for kotzer is a grogris, and the Nosa Kalim say, yeah, it's because this Gemara. This Gemara is talking about Tolesh. Tolesh is a tolda of kotzer, so therefore it's safe to say that it defines kotzer, and it's going to be subject to that rule. The Prima Gadim has an interesting suffix that, what should happen, let's say you have a chatzi shir of kitzira, so you're going to take a half of this grogris, and then an hour later, let's say you're going to take another half. So do they join together? Do we require, let's say, you know, you took a half and you ate it, and then you took another half later. So is this comparable to, let's say, somebody who is motzi a chatzi groger, somebody who carries out a chatzi groger, which then disappears, let's say it burns, and then he brings out another half later. So it's a question of tziruf between the two. So should this be comparable? He's a suffix about this.
Isn't it more a case of,
by Hotsah, the Gemara is a case.
So, not by kotzer and something else, chatzi groger.
I think you're thinking of...
That's all I'm thinking of.
I think so, but you can check.
Okay.
So what's what do you think the story should be with that? He has a suffix about this. I mean, presumably it should be mitzvah. You see, it goes a little bit to the question maybe of what is the subject of kotzer. Is the subject that which you are, the davar haniktzar, that which you are obtaining, or that which has, or the fact that you are disconnecting it? Or it really opens up the field for some interesting chakira here. Right, so is it that you are, the focus of Ketzira, that you are separating it from its ochre, from Gidula, which is a phrase we see a couple times, you're separating it from its point of growth, or is it that you are obtaining this item, which you have to obtain through separating it from its point of growth? Especially because, as we'll see, both of those conditions seem to be necessary. So therefore, do they have to be able to join on that point? Do you have to be able to have them both together? Or is it enough to say that you have separated a grogris, sachakol, from its source of growth? So I'm not sure how to be machriya on that, but I think it's definitely an interesting question because it does illustrate those two elements. The Mechas Chinuch has also a discussion about what if you're interested in the case of the Gemara, where you're Zomer Vitzarech Le'etzim, let's say, so then you're trying to do two things, right? You're trying to do one action, you're trying to do both Zareya and Kotzer. So what if it's too small for a grogris, let's say, you're cutting off a very small act of pruning, hard to imagine why you're doing this, but you're cutting off a tiny little growth there, but it's enough that in terms of the enhancement that it's going to do to the growth. It's going to grow for purposes of Zarei. It's going to grow a significant amount. Especially we saw that Zri is kosher anyway, presumably, for that whole discussion that we had. So once it chaps its definition for Zriya, so can that shear of Chashivas give it Chashivas for Kitsira as well? I say it's not automatically Kitsira when you're pruning. It's only Kitsira if you want it. And it's something we'll talk about in a few minutes. But once we're going to say that the action is enough for Kitsira, but it's lacking a shear, but the shear is enough for Zriya, so then maybe that shear gives it Chashivas that the whole action is considered to be significant in both directions. It's possible. It's an interesting discussion as well. So you guys, I'm sure, came across a whole discussion about whether or not we say Ein Zriya Ela B'Gedulei Karka, which is really an issue in the Rishonim. It's not clear whether there is such a rule or not. And it seems to relate to a parallel with Disha. But when it comes to Disha, so it's a Machlokas in the Gemara, actually, so you talk about threshing. So do you say that that only applies, threshing is basically you're squeezing something to take out the good part, and the useful part from it. So does that apply specifically only to Gedulei Karka? Or does it apply in other contexts as well? The whole discussion in the Gemara and elsewhere about milking. Is milking an aspect of Disha or not? Is it Gedulei Karka, or is there also a sub-possibility that maybe when you're milking a cow, can the cow be considered Gedulei Karka? It's a whole discussion whether that's a good proof or not. But so it would seem to be that the issues are related. If it's not obvious why, the discussion, the reason to have such a definition one way or another probably has to do with the Mishkan. It probably has to do with looking back at how the Melacha was done in the Mishkan and trying to figure out how closely it parallels. But it becomes a tricky question because the issue is how closely do we have to match the Mishkan? Presumably we only have to match the Mishkan in some way that goes to the core definition. But if it's a detail, then probably doesn't have to match the Mishkan. So it's clearly there's some subjectivity in how far, you know, separate from our whole question we discussed earlier about whether the Mishkan means the building of the Mishkan, or whether it means the Lechem HaPanim and the Karbanos. But once we decide we're using the Mishkan, so then the question is going to become, so how closely does it have to match the Mishkan? So presumably the whole Gedulei Karka discussion grows out of that. That was also an intention. It's not a Melacha of Grace. Whether or not Disha and Kitsira have to be parallel for this is also not obvious. The Rambam mentions Disha and doesn't mention Kitsira in terms of Gedulei Karka. So the Mechatz Chinuch and others say, oh, he doesn't hold it by Kitsira, he only holds it by Disha. And the Ramban doesn't think the Ramban is a big fan of Ein Kitsira Ela B'Gedulei Karka. And he thinks the Rambam also meant it. We can argue about that point, whether or not the Rambam... The Rambam's not really clear, he just says it by Disha and not by Kitsira, so there's some room to debate. But the Ramban also feels that even the Mandamar and the Gemara that says you don't need Gedulei Karka for Disha will say you do need it for Kitsira. But why would he say that? So presumably this is also a definitional issue, right? That what does Kitsira mean? Kitsira means cutting something off from the ground. Right, so we've seen already a number of issues that all go towards defining the Malacha even more precisely, you know, whether it's specifically from the direct source of growth, like Leital's point about what's an Av and what's a Tolda, whether it's specifically separating one different item from a different item, as we mentioned, or this issue of this point here, that maybe it has to be specifically connected to Karka and not growing out of anything else, that's all of a discussion. There is parenthetically a discussion we've touched upon in the past, whether there is a chi of daraisa for separating something from an atzah shein anakuv, whether that's called tolish or not. So that could fit into this discussion. Or you could say that, no, it doesn't have to be Gedulei Karka, but this is just not considered normal. This is not normal growth. So the Gedulei Karka discussion is a big discussion. The Rashba points out, sounds like from the Gemara in Yerushalmi, that it doesn't have to be Gedulei Karka, because Yerushalmi talks about taking a fish out of the water and calling that kotzer. Other Rishonim call it something else, but Yerushalmi sounds like that is kotzer. So Rashba says, yeah, Yerushalmi says that, but our Bavli is against it, that there is still a rule of Kitzira requires Gedulei Karka. Okay, so that's a question. What's also interesting is that we find that the Gemara talking about Zomer, so the Gemara says that it has to be, in order for it to be Kotzer, it has to be Sarach Le'etzim, which I think you might understand. It's interesting, there is a whole discussion in the Rishonim that maybe any type of Kotzer only applies when you need the item that you are being kotzer, which is a chiddush, because in other malachos, so the malachos is supposed to be productive in general, we don't usually care if you yourself are planning on eating it. You don't say, you only chayiv in bishul if you need the food. So if you're doing an active bishul, that is a normal active bishul, you're going to be chayiv anyway. But it seems that when it comes to kotzer and zomer, that there is a requirement, some of the Rishonim maintained, you have to actually need the item that you are cutting off. Now, in the context of the Gemara, you could say, well, it's only considered to be kotzer because you need the branches, because branches are not always something which is harvested. It's explained in this way. That's the Maharsha makes a comment like that in his commentary to Sanhedrin. And Daf Chavav, the Maharsha says you need kavana there because otherwise it's not going to be a fruit, so to speak. You need kavana to make the branches into fruit. But you do find in Rishonim in general an idea that you need to be needing the davar hanikta. Till the davar point says we have to need it right now, but you need it in general. And in terms of the Zomer Vitzarech Le'itzim discussion, Tosfos suggests that this clause of Tzarech Le'etzim, that applies even according to the Man D'Amar in the Gemara, that Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv. That this is apparently more than Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa, that even somebody who would pater, even somebody who would mechayiv from Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa, so you might say, okay, so who cares if I don't need the Etzim? It doesn't have to be Malach HaTzricha L'Gufa. Apparently, no, this is considered to be a part of the definition of the Malacha, that it's not called Kotzer, and this is in a more foundational way, Tosfos makes the point comparing it to Almanas. I saw Tosfos inside, Tosfos talks about the Zomer Mitzarech Le'etzim, so Tosfos compares it to Almanas cases, which is not an obvious comparison at all. Now, what's the major difference between Almanas's and here? That the Almanas's are often a destructive act, right? So you have to save it from the Mekalkel issue. So here we're saying that apparently, even though this is not obviously a kilpul, nonetheless, it needs this as part of its definition. Now, there is some discussion about that. Some say that it is considered to be mekalkel, maybe, because if you're cutting it down, you leave the branches on the tree, they'll be safer. You take the branches down and leave them in the street, so they basically are messing up the branches. So it's only because you need them that it's not mekalkel. So how much there is a parallel here is a discussion, but there are many Rishonim and later who say beferish, no, it's not about Makalko and it's not about Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa, but that this is a part of the definitional issue of Kotzer. So there is a discussion the Achronim bring up. So once we're pinpointing Kotzer as, say, is the expression you find in the Gemara and the Rishonim, Oker Davar Migdulo, which is a little bit of a mysterious term, because it could mean kotzer, it could mean that it also applies to other malachos as well. It's a little bit of a mysterious discussion. But kotzer seems to include oker davar migidulo, that it's being separated from its source of growth. So is that an issue of nutrients? It means that you're losing yinika, you are losing a connection to growth in that sense, or it has to do with physically being connected? That if you're breaking off an item that is physically connected, and it's physically connected to something which is nourishing it, that's where you have an issue. So what difference does it make? It makes a couple of differences. You know, first of all, what about taking a fish out of the water? So the Gemara says you take a fish out of water, so once it dries up, you are chayiv. And the Rishonim here, some of the Rashi says, I think that this is on Sadi Hay, right, that the issue is netilas neshama, that you're killing it. Netilas neshama presumably is a malacha that correlates to shochet. So that's the issue. But the Rabbeinu Chananel says that the issue is oker davar megidula. So is he saying kotzer? So that depends. You assume that oker davar megidula is identical with kotzer. It could be that that's a phrase that applies to a couple of malachas. But it sounds like he's pushing us closer to kotzer. And the Yerushalmi also more explicitly calls that kotzer. So presumably the fish is not mechubber to the water. So if you can say there's a kotzer issue when you take the fish out of water, so it sounds like the issue is not separating something that's connected from its source of nourishment, but separating something from a source of nourishment regardless of its connection to it. So that's a discussion that comes up there. It's also a discussion that comes up in the cholev issue, in the issue of milking a cow. So you say that that is an issue of kotzer. When essentially you're removing the milk from the place where it grows from. So Rashi says that's not kotzer. What are you talking about? Rashi says that that's something else. Mefarik in general is also a mysterious term. We don't know exactly what malacha mefarik comes from. But he says that's not called kotzer. And other Yishonim thought that it was kotzer. Once again, the Yishalmi seems to take a stance that it is kotzer. So perhaps this is also, again, the same issue. Primosha has a whole discussion about this, that are we focused on separating from a connection, or are we focused on separating from Yanika? And that's also the Gemara that you looked at. The Gemara talks about if somebody sticks his hand into the womb of a pregnant animal and he causes a miscarriage. So then there's also a discussion, what is Yichayev for? Is Yichayev because of, this is the Gemara on the bottom of Kavzayim and Beis. Amar Shmuel, Hoshud Yado, Lamei Behema, Vidildil Uber Shemeya, Chayev. And this is the Gemara, what's he chayev for? And the Gemara says, Oker Davar Megidulo, and again, that's a whole discussion, what exactly that phrase connects to. And so here you have the same question. So is that called kotzer, or is that called netilas neshama? This issue of netilas neshama is also, you know, a politically charged question. So is that called a neshama? Is an uber b'meimo called a neshama? It sounds like from the Gemara, like it's not clear. The Gemara in the Sanhedrin talks about the question of indoch nefesh b'fnei nefesh, and whether there is a heter to kill an uber to save a mother. So the Gemara says that once the baby takes its head out, so then the two are equal, you know, doch nefesh b'fnei nefesh. But until the baby is born, so then the mother's life takes priority. And Rashi says over there, lav nefesh. So there's a lot to talk about in other areas of halacha, of what exactly this Gemara represents. What Gemara says is a malacha involved. So is it kotzer, which wouldn't necessarily require any type of humanity or any type of nefesh, so to speak. I mean, here the Gemara is talking about a behema. But again, is it about netilas neshama? Is it about killing an animal, like including humans? Or is it about kotzer, which wouldn't have the same standard, but then opens up the whole discussion. Does it have to be gedule karka or not? And how exactly would this fit into that status? There is also an interesting discussion. We talked a little bit in the context of Zareya about whether something has to be fully covered in the ground in order for it to be considered a violation of Zareya. So the Shulchan Aruch has a din that, let's say somebody is hiding something in the ground, hiding some vegetable in the ground, or not necessarily hiding for purposes, hiding it. Well, you want to keep it fresh in the ground. So we talked about if some of the leaves are sticking out of the ground, it wouldn't necessarily fully be Zareya. So in that context, so the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have something you put there, and you didn't intend to plant it, you intend to put it there for the purposes of protection, and you want to take it out, so you can take it out as long as it wasn't Nishrash, it didn't take root. And some of the later Svarim point out that from Tosfos earlier on Daf Nun, it sounds like the Kavana Luzriya thing is not a factor. That as long as it wasn't Nishrash, you can take it out. So, Primosha talks about that also, and he thinks that the whole question seems to be, in terms of the Isser Kotzer here, whether it has to be some connected unit, and that maybe once you decide, if you're intending to plant it, so then it becomes buckled to the ground. So then that's essentially considered to be a connection. While the Shulchan Aruch, well, that's the Shulchan Aruch's view, while Tosfos, that says doesn't matter if you intend to plant it, it's still not considered to be kotzer until it actually takes root. So they're not interested in some type of conceptual connection, they're interested in an actual physical connection. And that's the and that's really the focus. The Talmud Yerushalmi also discusses an interesting case. We talked about Atzat Tznokos and the like. So there is a din there that if a person takes one potted plant that's already in the ground and you squash another potted plant with it, you squash it with another potted plant. So then the Yerushalmi says, Yechayev two. Yechayev Mishum Zareya, that you planted the new one and you are essentially choking. So the carbon aid explains, you're essentially choking the bottom one, and therefore you're considered to be kotzer that one. So that's interesting from a couple of points. It's interesting because it's not a standard type of kotzer. You're not disconnecting it, you're just making it lose its connection to the nutrition. So it's kind of reverse. It's that you're cutting off its unika without separating it. There is a connection, but you're not breaking the connection. So that's a little bit of a Mechudish type of way of seeing things. And the Primosha discusses, he says, based on that, he thinks it would make sense that if somebody was spreading poison on plants to kill them, that that would also be a violation of Kotzer. You're causing them to lose their connection to their source of life, which is interesting. I wonder if he's saying it's Kotzer as an Av. It doesn't have the same Tzura, especially according to the whole view of those who say that you have to need the item that you're being kotzer. So here you're for sure not doing that. You're killing them on the ground. So I wonder if you could call that an av. I assume he doesn't go into it. I assume it's maybe like a tolda. But that the Yerushalmi is maybe a source that you can have a toll. Either that you don't need to have the davar hanikzer, maybe according to the Yerushalmi, or that it's a tolda. That, somehow it has that... somehow it has that status. That's an interesting discussion as well. So there is a malacha called Tolesh. We'll just mention a few more minutes. There is this concept of Tolesh. Tolesh is you are separating something from something else. And that's basically portrayed as a tolda of Kotzer. The Meiri, I believe, explains that the difference is that Kotzer is with a tool and Tolesh is done with your hand. So it's interesting. So the Gemara has a discussion about that. So the Gemara says in reference to that, it's really interesting how they decide what to talk about, what not talk about, because Gemara lists all these other malachas and then gives you an example of Tolesh, which wasn't listed. So Amar of Papa, Haiman Deshada Piso the Dikwa. So let's say somebody's having some fun, he takes a clump of dirt or something else, and he throws it at a date tree, and he knocks out some dates from the tree. So what is that? So it's Chayiv Shtayim, says the Gemara. Achas Mishum Tolesh, V'achas Mishum Mefarek. Again, Mefarek is a mysterious category, but he's in violation of Tolesh and Mefarek. And Ravashi disagrees. Ravashi says, Amar ein derech tlisha bekach, v'ein derech prika bekach. No, that's not. You're not chayiv for that, because this is not the way you do either of these malachas. This is not the way you strip something from the tree. This is not the way you remove fruit from the tree. So this is not considered to be tlisha or prika. So, not to be confused with tino prika. So, what does Rashi say about that? Al yedei zrika, ela obiyad. So ein derech al yedei zrika, ela obiyad obikli. So that's not the way you normally do it. You don't do it by throwing something. You either do it with your hand, which that would be Talisha or the Kli, presumably that would be Ksira. I don't know how much it can be Medayik in Rashi that that's whether he's arguing on the distinction between Yad and Kli. Presumably he's not. V'tolesh k'lach yadu pater. So this tolesh, so to speak, is k'lach yad, is being done in an unusual way, so you're not going to be chayiv. Presumably it's not going to be mutter, it's just a pater avalaser, but you're not going to be chayiv. So there is a whole discussion how this Rashi works with a Rashi in Sukkah. Because Rashi in Sukkah talks about the prohibition on Shabbos of smelling an esrog that is on a tree. And the concern seems to be that you are going to bite the esrog right off the tree with your mouth. So Rashi sounds like over there, yeah, that's Emlecha Tlisha Gadol Mizeh. That's a massive Tlisha, and we're worried about that. So the Magen Avraham has some confusion, which the Machta Shekel explains, stems from the fact that it sounds like there's a little bit of a steer between this Rashi and that Rashi. Here Rashi says it's either got to be with a hand or with a utensil, and the Rashi over there sounds like it has to, sounds like that would also count. If you used your mouth to rip the esrog off the tree, that would be Tlisha. So some think that this is a question, that maybe when he's, you have to assume, as Machta Shekel explains, it sounds like you have to say one of these Rashis is Lav Davka, so that when he says, it says in Sukkah, he says, wow, that's a real Tlisha, but he doesn't really mean Yechayiv Daraisa, that's how some understand. But others, like the Bechor Shor, say no, that the Rashi in Sukkah, you take at face value, and here, okay, so he's not talking about Peh, it doesn't come up, maybe he would have said Peh also, but he's just focusing on the Gemara's case about throwing, but it doesn't mean only these examples. So it's a discussion, the Halakha has some nafkaminas, and the Tshuvas Rav Polam has a Tshuva about this, this is an Aruch Chaim in Siman Chaf, he has a whole, in the first volume, he has a whole discussion about this, and his conclusion is he thinks you have to be worried that the Rashi in Sukkah is the authoritative one, that it really is considered to be a Tlisha, Kederach HaTlisha. It says, therefore, for example, you can't have a non-Jew do this, you can't have any kulas based on the assumption that this is anything less than a full malacha. And he says, even though you find, it says, oh, for example, if somebody is writing with a pen in his mouth, so that's not considered kederach. He says, yeah, of course not, because look at what comes out. It's a whole different thing. You know, he describes, he says, you write with a pen in your mouth, so that's not, it's not even half as good as writing with your hands, right? So it's gonna be a clear difference in the result. But he says, you can't necessarily assume that all the malachas are going to be parallel in this, and that if you say that it's not kederach by other malachas, that it is also not kederach by here, so he thinks you have to worry that the Rashi in Sukkah is the dominant view. That's really what the concern is. That Rashi is going to come up again. Maybe we'll have a chance to revisit it when it comes to Borer and Borer La'altar. It comes up in that context as well. Maybe we'll have a chance to revisit that. So that's, you know, we'll, again, you can talk about Kotzer for a long time, but we'll be satisfied mostly with that. Just on the practical point, I just want to mention, without going into it, one area where the most relevant gezeira in terms of kotzer is probably the issue of hishtamshus be'ilun. We're not allowed to use trees on Shabbos because we're worried about how that may possibly lead us to take off a branch. And that's also relevant to riding animals as well. It has a lot of practical applications. So if you want to see some of the practical discussions, I mentioned the other day with Harfenis, the Sefer, about Halacha L'Maaseh Tshuvos about Shabbos. So the section about Hishtamshus B'Ilun goes here from roughly Kuf Lamed Ches to Kuf Nun Dalet. He has about 30 Tshuvos about this, about different cases of using a tree. A lot of practical applications. And I just mention here one tshuva he has. It's also interesting about an area where there does not seem to be a gzera. Question of running on grass. Should we say that running on grass runs the risk of being tolesh, that grass? So is that something that we should worry about? So he has a little bit of discussion here. It's interesting. So he notes the fact that in the Shulchan Aruch it says it's mutter to walk on the grass, because you don't have any intent to separate the grass from its source. And it comes out from the Gemara, this means that even if we're talking about long grass, and even if you're walking barefoot, which makes it perhaps more likely that the grass is going to get stuck in between your toes, it's still mutter, because that's not considered to be apsik resha. So it's not your intent, and it's not apsik resha. But he notes that the Mishnah Berurah says that it's prohibited to run if it's big grass, if it's long grass, because he thinks that is a apsik resha, that you're going to rip out the grass. And the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He says that it's not ever going to really be a psik resha, and therefore it is mutter. And he notes that this was the view of many other poskim. And then he ends off his short tshuva by noting the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. Says that even if somebody goes often, and then you're going to say that, well, ultimately it's a psik resha, that, right, it's a cumulative psik resha, that you're going to have to do something. So this is a point that's relevant to a lot of other discussions. It says, no, because any step you're going to take is not a psik resha. So you don't have to worry. This comes up in a lot of other discussions. For example, comes up a discussion in Karen Biavna. When you take, you have a water fountain, let's say, that's going to eventually, when you take out enough water out of it, it turns on a motor to cool the rest of the water. So there are those who maintain that taking a cup of water from the water fountain is not considered to be a psik resha, because there's no necessity that it's definitely going to activate the motor. But if you come with a pitcher of water and you're going to fill it all up in one shot, so then you for sure will turn on the motor. But let's say you want to come with 10 cups of water in a row, so then, as he would say here, it would come out that each cup of water, even though you know you're going to hit it at some point, but that each cup of water is not considered to be a psik resha, it would be mutter each time. Okay, so we'll, like I said, we'll leave our, I'm not promising not to add a point or two in the future, but we will move on from Kotzer, nothing with that, move on from Kotzer for our next shiur, which is Wednesday, because tomorrow is Tisha B'Av. So just very quickly, what we talk about, we talked about the Gemara, which has these various categories, Machlokas Rishonim, whether they are all Avos, like Rashi and the Rambam, or whether they are just Kotzers, the Av and the rest are told us, the Meiri's distinction between seeds and trees, and the Egle Tal's explanation that if it's not connected directly to the source of nutrition, then it's not called Kotzer. And then we talked about Zomer, which was also Machlokas, the Rambam saying Zomer is an Av, Rashi saying it's a Tolda. Discuss what's the difference between one and the other. It's still an act of Katsira, so the Achronim explaining that maybe Kotzer means specifically separating two items that are not the same and not making one item a little bit less than it was. And then we talked about the Shir, the Gemara sounding like from HaTolosh Olshin that Grogulis is the Shir, and then the interesting suffix of the Prima Gadim. So what happens if you are Kotzer half a Grogulis and it gets destroyed in another calf? What really is the main driving point in terms of the Chiyuv? And the Menches Chinuch suffix about Zomer V'sarach Le'etzin, that if you're Zomer or less than a Shir, but it's going to have a Zriya of more than a shir, which I guess will always be the case, so then is that enough to be mechayev for kotzer as well? And we talked about the question of gedulei karka. Is there a necessity of gedulei karka? The Rambam sounds like not, as the Menaches Chinuch understood. The Ramban thought yes, and the Ramban thought the Rambam was with him on this, and the Ramban thought that even if you say you don't need it for disha, you do need it for tzira, and we suggested, others have suggested also, that this is, again, part of the definition of what kitzira is. And we talked about the whole Tzarech Le'etzin condition, which seems to be, many Rishonim understand, the requirement for Kotzer in general, not just in the Eitzim example. Eitzim does have a unique quality, as the Marsha points out in Sanhedrin, that it wouldn't be a pre otherwise. So that's also a certainly a significant detail. And then we talked about whether it means separating it from its source of growth specifically, or breaking a connection which involves growth. Some of the differences in terms of how you interpret various sugyas, the idea of taking a fish out of water, the discussion about milking an animal, and the discussion about causing a miscarriage in the animal, which has also ramifications for abortion and all of the implications in that area as well. And then we talked also about the question of when the different views, if you take something that you would stuck in the ground but not fully covered. So Shulchan Aruch says, as long as you didn't intend to plant it, you can take it out. Others point out, Tosfos sounds like even if you didn't intend to plant it, but it hasn't taken root yet, you can take it out. We discussed how that may affect this whole question, and then we talked about Tolesh, which is considered to be a Tolda, and the Meiri explains the differences, whether it's a Kli or a Biyad, but the Gemara says that if you throw something at a tree and knock something down, so then it's a discussion, but the second opinion of the Gemara is that that is not considered to be Derech Tlisha or Derech Prika. Rashi says, yeah, because the Derech is only with a Kli or with a Biyad, but the problem is the Rashi in Sukkah, which says that there's a danger of using your teeth to be totally something, and Ein Tlisha Gadol Mizeh. So there's a whole discussion. Is one Rashi of the other Lav Davka, and that was a debate in general. He mentioned the Rav Polam, who thought the Rashi in Sukkah was the one to worry about. They have to assume it is, perhaps in Issa Daraisa, a full-blown Tolesh. And then we just talked about some of the Xeris Drabanan, or lack of Xeris Drabanan, the most relevant one being the Hishtamshus Be'ilun consideration, also relevant to riding animals, the concern that you're going to rip a branch off in the context of those activities, and the idea that walking on grass does not seem to be subject to a gzeira because it's considered to be ena miskaven in terms of ripping out any grass, and the Mishnah Berurah thought there was room to be machmir in big grass, and others disagreed with him, including the Aruch HaShulchan, and apart from this, the citation from the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchusa, that even in a setting where you know cumulatively you will take out some grass, but each act is not a separation of taking out grass, each act by itself is considered to be mutter. Okay, so I guess I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. We have anyone know how that program works?
Do something with that. People.
I saw him in his hand. One day he had for a photocopy.
Interesting. Basically, I thought we just.